Have you been using Mint to manage your finances? First, you probably know the bad news. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There is a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. I have been using Monarch Money for over a year now, and it makes my weekly money dates so much easier and a lot less stressful. I tried all of the other personal finance apps, but they just didn't work for me. I love Monarch because I can see exactly where my money is going and track my goals all at the same time. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, your investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Monarch has a tool that also lets you easily import your data from Mint so you can keep all of your tags and categories. And unlike other personal finance apps, Monarch's simple, very intuitive design makes it so easy to set up, customize, and use. And one of the features I love most is Monarch has built-in features to collaborate with your partner, your family, or your financial advisor. You can invite them to your account at no extra cost. They get their own login, and you can have a joint view of your finances. Monarch is also the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up automatic rules for transactions. You can go to town with Monarch. Plus, they have ad-free privacy you can trust. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of the show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. I've tried everything to reach my money goal of saving $4,500 for a trip to Europe I want to take. I've eaten mac and cheese for a month, I've tried furniture flipping, rented out a room in my house, but nothing is working. Please, Shauna, I need your help. Hey, welcome back to Everyone's Talking Money, friend. It is so good to have you with us. I am your host, Shauna, and if you are new to this show, wow. Welcome. We have got over 1,100 episodes of every subject around money for you to take a listen to. And if you're an old friend, it's so good to have you back. It's Friday. We keep things a little loose on Fridays. So we're tackling an Ask Shauna, but in a little different format called a budget rescue. I've done a few of these episodes before, and a lot of you have written in saying that you really like this because it's kind of a behind the scenes look at somebody else's money situation, how they're doing things, and then some of my advice, some things to think about. But before we get there, great news, the podcast is now actually available on YouTube. You can head to the link in the show notes to subscribe. Video versions of the episodes will be up starting April 1st. So for now, you can just listen to the audio episodes, but the entire catalog is there. It has taken a long time for the episodes to all upload on YouTube. So if you were listening to this show on Google Podcasts or some other podcast player that is no longer in existence, you can now check them all out on YouTube. And let me just tell you, I've been doing this show for 9 years now, and this has been my primary mode of dispensing content to you. But I'm going to get brave. I'm going to get vulnerable, and I'm going to start doing some vlog style videos in between the episodes as well on YouTube. So if you want to see more behind the scenes of my life, of the podcast, of how I manage money and everything in between, make sure you subscribe for those. All right. How many times have you had a money goal like Abigail, who sent in this question? You're desperately trying to reach, but no matter what you do, you just don't get there. This place can feel really shameful. Why is everyone else seemingly reaching their money goals and you're stuck still at square one? I promise you, though, please know this, you are not alone. We all have a secret, or maybe not so secret, money goal we want to reach, and the more we focus on it, the more out of reach it seems to get. We've talked about this so many times before, but I really want to make sure that you understand this. Did you know that between 80 to 90% of money decisions are based on emotion? Let me say that again. 80 to 90% of your money decisions are based on emotion. Money is an emotional subject, and it's almost never just about money. So with that framework, let's dive in a little bit to Abigail's question. She said, I have tried everything to reach my money goal of saving $4,500 for this trip to Europe I want to take. I've eaten mac and cheese for a month, tried furniture flipping, rented out a room in a house for months, but nothing is working. Shauna, I've been over my numbers over and over and over again, and I just can't seem to make sense of it. I feel really down about myself and frustrated that I can't work this process. I've listened to your show for years. All your tips have been so great, and they've helped me out in a lot of different areas, like paying off debt, getting my credit score in a better place. But this just feels like a stumper to me. Please, Shauna, I need your help. Abigail also sent in her budget breakdown. Her income is $5,200 a month. Expenses are rent $2,100, groceries about $500 a month, eating out $150, cable and internet $125, electric bill $75 a month, cell phone $65 a month, haircut and nails about $85 a month, car payment is $327, insurance is $600 every 6 months, her student loan payment is $129, credit card payments are around $100-ish a month, and she has a personal loan from her parents around $285. So that's about $4,091. So then Abigail goes on to say, so I should have left about $1,000 a month, but I'm constantly having to move money from my savings to my checking account to make all my payments. I should be able to save for my trip in about 5 months, but I have been trying to do this for over 2 years now. I just don't understand what's happening. Shauna, please send help. First, Abigail, I want to thank you so much for your vulnerability. It's very difficult to share your numbers and reach out for help. So thank you for that and for being very honest. Looking at your numbers, yes, technically, if mathematically, if we add them up, you should be left with some money each month. So I want to see if we can diagnose some of the issues that might be at hand and at least give you something to think about. Now, I will say for this budget rescue, I wasn't given your actual bank statements. So I am shooting a little blind here with the numbers you gave me. And there's a lot of gray area here, probably that maybe you haven't provided to me. Maybe you don't even know is there. I think the best way to find the cracks in your budget is to look at your actual bank statements and really categorize all your expenses. You don't have to do this every month, but I think if you do this 2 or 3 months, you're going to get a really good feel of how your money is flowing. And I know logically you're sitting here and thinking, but Shauna, I know where I spend my money. I'm the person spending my money. And I'm going to say back to you, I guarantee you actually probably don't know all the places you are spending your money. And if we go back to this initial idea, right? Money is emotional. 80 to 90% of our money decisions are emotional. So we can think that we are doing something with our money, but in reality, we are doing quite the opposite. So here is a great way to figure this out. Take out your bank statements, print them off. I know nobody wants to deal with paper, but just trust me for this exercise. Take a couple of different colored highlighters and put your expenses into categories. Label the category. So could be eating out category, could be personal care, could be subscriptions, could be gas, could be car, could be, you know, whatever, right? Come up with categories that resonate with you and then add them up and see the differences. Compare to your paper budget or whatever other version of budget you were using and see where, aha, okay, here are some things that really stand out. Your bank statements are the truth tellers of how you are spending your money. It doesn't lie. It's very accurate. And this is such an important exercise. If you've never done this before, or if you've done this in the past, come back to this exercise because you're going to learn something each time you do it. I promise you, it's not going to be scary. And if you need to think about something when you're doing this exercise, think about me sitting across from you, cheering you on all the way. Okay? This is hard work. It is emotionally hard work to do. But I promise you, there is good stuff on the other side of it. So the first thing I see, Abigail, is your rent is about 40% of your take-home pay. I don't know where you live. You might live in somewhere pretty expensive, a big city, but ideally, you'd like to keep that number below 40% of your take-home pay. Now, I realize our housing expenses, pretty difficult to change. We have leases, we have mortgages, all of those sorts of things. So maybe think about, are there opportunities to add more income? I don't know when the last time was you got a raise. I don't know what your salary is. I don't know what your skill levels are. Can you get another certification that maybe might be worth value at your company? Is there a side hustle option available to you? You said you did furniture flipping and you had some people stay in your house. Are there other options like that that aren't difficult to add in? If we dig a bit deeper, your budget breakdown is about 74% fixed expenses, $0 in savings, and 26% variable expenses. So I'd love for you to be a little bit closer to 50% of your take-home pay is for your fixed expenses, 20% of your take-home pay is for savings, and then the last 30% of your take-home pay is for all of this fun stuff, the variables, all the extra stuff that you want to do in life. Currently, you aren't saving any money from what I can see, but I don't know some of the details. I don't know if you're contributing to a 401k or any other retirement account from your paycheck. So if you are doing that, that might even out that split just a little bit there. And if you truly aren't saving any money, I would really encourage you to do this exercise and figure out even if there is a small amount of money that you can start putting into an emergency fund. So my first suspect is to look at your eating out. This is always the place where people's budgets blow up. You are not alone if you do this exercise and you are just mortified or in the complete sense of shock about how much money you think you are spending eating out versus how much money you are actually spending eating out. There is usually a very wide margin for most people, and that's because we don't count certain things. We don't count coffee runs and smoothies and work lunches and happy hours. And all of these extra expenses, maybe you go to 7-Eleven, you pick up some stuff, right? This all counts under the eating out category. But again, our brains want to tell us something different. If we put down, I only spend $100 eating out on my budget, my brain goes, oh yeah, okay, I guess that's how much we spend eating out. If in reality we spend $500 eating out, our brain is not going to say, no. We're actually spending $500 eating out. It's not going to do that because remember, again, this is emotional. We want to believe that we are spending usually a lower amount of money than we are on certain things. We had a guest on the show in, I believe it was 2022 from The Zebra, and she talked about something that really blew my mind. She talked about shopping your car insurance at least two times a year and that you can really save money by doing that. So that might be worth doing if there's, you know, see if there's any room to save money. I don't know when you last renewed your car insurance, but just for anybody listening, I think that's probably like the one thing you can do immediately after listening to this podcast is go shop your car insurance. She said on the podcast, I think it was something around most people save between, I thought she said 10 and 30 or 35% when they shop around. Now, that can be a sizable amount of money when you think about how expensive car insurance is. The next thing is your $100-ish dollars for your credit card payments. I don't know a lot of details here. Is this your minimum payment? Do you charge your credit card each month and then you pay it off? If so, I really want to know, what is the accurate number each month that we're dealing with here? So can you work on getting a more concrete number? So if you have anything in your budget that says ish, or you have a miscellaneous category, all right, I want you to just like hit the pause button and I want you to figure out what that number actually is. Not an ish, not a miscellaneous. We don't have one of those kind of junk drawers for our spending. I don't want you to have that. I want you to have a really clear grasp on where your money is going, because that is the place, that is the foundation of how we can start creating change, how we can start finding some money there that we can reroute towards the goals that you want to spend. Besides your hair and nails that you listed and eating out, I don't see a lot of variable expenses, fun stuff I call it, that you spend money on. So my guess is that some of those expenses don't actually make their way to your budget. Maybe there's entertainment stuff like movies or concerts or bowling or putt-putt or I don't know. Maybe there's subscriptions that aren't on there. That is a big guess for me. Hulu or the gym or Netflix, anything like that has got to go on your budget. Are there any other self-care things that you spend money on? Maybe a massage or therapy or the sauna place or skincare, facials, whatever it might be. All of those things that sometimes we only do once or twice a month, they never actually make their way to your budget either because you just forget about them. You do them throughout the month and you think, well, I don't actually need to add that to my budget. Or more likely, what's going on in your brain is like, well, of course that's listed on my budget. Why wouldn't that be listed on my budget? But guess what? It probably isn't listed on your budget. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. Life does not happen biweekly, so why should your payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin, it's an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Listen, the money you get from Earnin, it could do a lot of things. Maybe you spend it on a gift for someone special in your life, or in my case, an unexpected and very expensive trip to the vet for my pup Winnie. Or maybe you use the money towards your upcoming rent payment. There are lots of ways the Earnin money could go to use. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin, T-A-L-K-I-N, money, under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin money under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
So you've got your exercise at hand, printing out your bank statements and categorizing your expenses. The way I like to approach spending is like this. I want you to put a number one next to every expense that you have to pay. Things like your rent, your car payment, your student loans, the minimum on your credit card, all of those things. Then I want you to ask yourself, is there a better way I can spend this money? So going back to your car insurance shopping trick, can I save money? Most of the time, your number ones, the answer is going to be no, or not right now. But at least you know that, right? You probably can't just go change your rent, or if you have a mortgage, you can't just refinance it in a poof. It just doesn't happen. But I at least want you to be aware and ask yourself those questions. Then look at all of your variable expenses, what I call funsies, stuff you like to do. And I want you to put a number two next to them and then ask the same questions. Am I happy with this expense? Is there a better way I could spend this money? Or do I really not even need this expense? A lot of times when you do this exercise, you discover something that you didn't know was there, and that you don't need to actually be spending money on. I had this happen to me quite recently, a couple months ago. I realized I was double paying for a QuickBooks and an Adobe subscription. And when I dug a little bit deeper, I'm like, this is ridiculous. How many months have I been double paying for these? I don't even want to tell you, friend. I don't even want to tell you how long this has been happening. Trust me, it's been a while. I could have really used that 55 some odd dollars on something else. You see how this happens. It's so easy. So I want you to ask yourself questions like you were a detective of your money. Not for shame or blame, but for, okay, that's interesting. I'm curious about that. Is there a better way? If you bring this sense of curiosity to your money, it does a lot to dial down the temperature that you feel around money, the nervousness. Once you've done this process, I want you to add up all your numbers and I want you to see where you're at. Any savings you find, start listing out your goals. So for Abigail, you have this trip that you're saving for, but I want you to break down your savings into weekly or monthly amounts. So this $4,500 goal, it seems really big. Maybe you set a goal of, all right, I want to try and reach this in 6 months. So I need to save $750 a month. Do you have enough in your spending to actually make that work? If the answer is yes, great. It goes on your spending plan or your budget or whatever word you call it. If no, then okay, can we stretch out? Is it not 6 months? Is it 8 months? Is it 9 months? Or are we not looking at $4,500? Is a more realistic amount $3,000, right? We start tweaking the levers then to see what is actually doable for your money, for your bank account.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Want to know the number one money question I'm asked? It's how to get started investing without being overwhelmed. So if you're asking yourself the same question, then you have to check out the Investing for Beginners podcast. The hosts, Dave and Andrew, they break down investment terms and strategies in a way you can finally understand. I love that they're making investing accessible, and they have an entire podcast dedicated to helping you invest better. Even if you're not ready to start investing, they explain the stock market and financial updates so you can really understand what is being said on the news. If you're ready to learn more about investing, I'd recommend you start with two of my favorite episodes. Listener Q&A, how do you start investing with $1,000, where they explain how you get started right away. And Back to Basics of Building Your Portfolio, where they explain how to build a portfolio from scratch. The Investing for Beginners podcast is a great way to start expanding your relationship with money. Find Investing for Beginners podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Karina Bemisterfer, host of Morning Cup of Murder, your daily true crime podcast. Yes, you heard me right, daily true crime. Every day, Morning Cup of Murder tells you a straightforward, short-form story about murder, true crime, cold cases, disappearances, serial killers, cults, and more. And I do that all in under 15 minutes. With over 3 years of stories and over 20 million downloads, the Morning Cup of Murder podcast has become a staple of so many people's daily routines. So why not add it to yours? Stream Morning Cup of Murder everywhere you listen to podcasts. And remember, stay safe.
I want to circle back to the emotions you shared. You said that nothing is working were your words. You talked about this level of frustration that you're feeling. These words carry a lot of emotional weight. So I'm wondering, how long have you been feeling this way, that nothing is working with your money? Why does this matter? Well, remember, again, our 80 to 90% of your money decisions are based on emotions. Even with the most buttoned up spending plan budget, you might still be, in a sense, self-sabotaging your goals without really knowing this. And I know this doesn't make logical sense, but it happens all of the time. And it happens mainly because we get used to a certain way of doing things, right? We have comfortable patterns, even if the result of those patterns are an uncomfortable event, right? If we say that we want to save money, but we keep spending money, the comfortable pattern is spending money to make ourselves feel good, even if the uncomfortable outcome of that is that we are essentially sabotaging our goals. Our brain is lazy. It doesn't want to change things. It doesn't want to make things different. So we've really got to do some of the work to make this happen. So let's take that thought, the thought that nothing is working, and I want to walk it out a little bit. Your emotion might be frustration, shame, guilt, anger. So this thought of nothing is working turns into an emotion that you're feeling. I don't know what it is for you, but I guarantee it's probably something that isn't uplifting for you. So then once we have that thought and we have that emotion, those all translate into our actions, right? The things that we are motivated to do. So how does that feeling you feel then translate into action? Well, you might not be updating your budget. You might not want to know what the real numbers are. You might not be looking at your bank account balance. All of these things might be happening. So then these actions, they create patterns and behaviors that support your feeling of nothing is working. So it starts to create a loop, if you will. And it's how we get stuck in these patterns, in these loops. We want something to be different, but we are just going about it all wrong. We're trying to force some action, or we're trying to force something within ourselves when we really need to start with the thought at hand. So if you have this chain reaction happening, you literally start looking for nothing is working with your money. You start to magnify all of the bad things. Oh my gosh, my tires blew out. Oh my gosh, this bill came in. I want to go on this trip with my friends, but I can't afford it. All of these things start magnifying for you. And it just continues to keep this loop of negative thoughts, negative feelings, negative actions around your money. So can we change that thought? Instead of nothing is working, maybe something more like, I'm making wise choices with my money every day, or whatever feels like a good, healthy thought for you. I'm doing the best I can with my money. That's another great thought. So then how does that new thought make you feel? Excited? Motivated? Encouraged? Maybe a little bit of hope? I don't know. You fill in the word. Then we take that new feeling. Let's put it into action. Maybe because you feel encouraged or a little bit hopeful, maybe you do this exercise with your bank statements each month until you have a good feel of how you're really spending your money. Maybe you decide to shop around for new car insurance or create a goal to spend each week on groceries, right? Or eating out or whatever it might be. Or maybe you advocate for a higher raise at work. You do some positive action because you now have a positive thought and a positive feeling. This new action then creates a pattern or behavior around money. You start making intentional choices with your money. You feel good. You look for good things. So you see how this works? It's so powerful. And I tell you honestly, it can change everything. I do this work for myself. It's challenging to change these money scripts and these money beliefs that are so unconsciously woven inside of you. They feel like so much a part of you. You know, I've spoken to so many people over the years that say, I do these patterns and I can't change them. And it just feels like it's part of my DNA. It's so difficult. And yet it is absolutely life-changing. So you can have the same amount of money that you have right now, but you work on the thoughts and the emotions and the feelings around money, things start to shift for you. And you start getting closer to your goals, and it's a head scratcher because you're looking at your situation. Maybe you're Abigail. You're looking at your situation where you thought you would have a certain amount of money left each month, and you thought you'd be able to reach this goal of going to Europe. You were in this negative loop of thinking, of feeling, of action, of patterns, of behaviors, and you instead started to introduce a new thought, a new feeling, and then a new action, and then a new pattern, and then a new behavior, and things started changing. You started to do this exercise where you looked at where you were spending your money. Maybe now you start doing money dates. Maybe you start looking at your money every week. Maybe you start feeling better about your money. Maybe it's not so scary anymore, and things start to shift. I'm not going to call it magic. It's not magic, but it's pretty darn close to it. So Abigail, I would say, you know, there isn't a lot in your spending that is absolutely just standing out to me as a terrible expense. I don't think there is a terrible expense because we all spend money in a way that feels good to us. The question I always want you to ask yourself is there a better way I could be paying for this expense? Could you use cashback or credit card points or whatever it might be, maybe to save on eating out? Could you call your cable and internet company and ask them, hey, am I on the best plan for my usage? Guaranteed, there's probably a way you could save money somewhere here in the expenses. Looking at your student loan payment, are you on the student loan payment that is right for you? How long has it been since you called your servicer and checked in on that? I don't know the details around your personal loan from your parents. Is there a way that you could pay less on that every month? I don't know, right? These are questions to ask yourself and to really think about. It comes back to this. There are two ways to better a budget. You know this. I don't even have to tell you. One is we got to make more money. The second is we have to spend intentionally. We have to have a really clear grasp on how we're spending our money. So there isn't this magical formula for making this happen. But if you do this exercise and you have a really good grasp on where your money's going, and you pair that with this exercise around thinking about your thoughts, feelings, and actions, patterns, and behaviors around money, it's as close to a formula as I can get you. And I have seen magic happen with so many people. I think I've shared this story on the show before, probably many times, of a couple that I worked with many years ago who thought they were spending around $500 eating out. And they love to eat out. They love to take their friends to eat out. That was something that was so incredibly important to them. And when we looked at their budget, they hadn't updated their budget in months. And so I did this exercise where I dove into their bank accounts. I started categorizing everything. We started to look at all the expenses and say, do we need this? Do we not need this? Is there a better way we can spend this? And you know what we discovered? That $500 that they thought they were eating out, it really was around $3,500 a month. I know, it's crazy. It is crazy. How could you not know that you were spending $3,500 eating them out? Out a month. How could you not know that? You are spending that money. It's coming out of your bank account. But the brain doesn't care. The brain's lazy. It's very comfortable. It looks at a piece of paper and says, hey, you wrote down $500 on that piece of paper. It must be $500. I'm not going to argue with you. That's what the brain does. So we have to check in and say, wait a minute. Something is going awry here. So whether you are in Abigail's situation where you have a goal that you just haven't been able to reach, or maybe you're living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you aren't, maybe you're in a really great financial situation, it still makes a difference to really understand where your expenses are going and to look at your thoughts, feelings, actions around money and how maybe you could approach it a different way. I think it's easy to get in the trap of thinking, well, I just need to make more money. If I made more money, all of this would make sense. It would just remedy my problem. And it doesn't. And you know why. You know why from a psychological standpoint that it doesn't remedy the situation, because our emotions are just going to say, we're making more money. Our brain's lazy, right? Remember, it's comfortable making more money. Let's just go spend more money. So it's the lifestyle creep that so many of us just automatically fall into. I've been completely guilty of this for most of my adult life. I feel like the last 5 years, I've really got a grip on this. I'm trying to spend the exact same amount of money, whether I have a really good month or I don't have a good month. So that I start to train my body, my brain, my emotions that this is the lane that I'm operating in with my money, and anything extra is just going to all the places that I want it to go to really build my wealth. So this doesn't have to be an exercise that only you do when you are struggling. If you're listening to this episode right now and things are good for you financially, I want you to do this as well, because everyone across the board, you're gonna find money. There's gonna be money sitting in your bank account when you do this exercise that you are going to be able to proactively take and put it in different places. That is, I think, the best way to reach any goal and the best way to better your budget. So, Abigail, thank you again for sending in your real numbers and for opening up for us to talk about them on the show. If you would like to be considered for a budget rescue, there'll be a link right in the show notes. Just let me know. I've got probably about, I don't know, I would say 6 to 8 more people that have sent in their information for a budget rescue. So I'm going to be bringing you more of these episodes. They're fun for me to do. And hopefully you like taking a little bit of a behind the scenes look at someone's numbers and where they're really spending their money. All right, friend, I will see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.